The meeting is now called to order. Will the clerk please take the roll?
Legislators May.
Here.
Rowley.
Here.
Burtis.
Here.
Cody.
Here.
Abbott Keenan.
Here.
Kuhn.
Here.
Ryan.
Here.
Chase.
Here.
Holmquist.
Here.
McBride.
Here.
Bush.
Here.
Kelly.
Here.
Kinney.
Here.
Williams.
Here.
Irvin.
Here.
Tassone.
Here.
Mr. Chairman.
Here.
17 present, none absent.
Thank you. Former legislator Danny Lika, would you lead us in the Pledge of the Flag, please? Thank you. So this is an annual event that happens. It's great to be back here at the legislature doing this where we traditionally have it. If you remember last year, we were over at the Civic Center spread out with extra social distance, I would say, between us all, and it was really just us and a few other folks. So. It's great to be back. Looking forward to a great presentation here today, and then the work begins in earnest for us. So, with that, I'd like to introduce the County Executive, J. Ryan McMahon.
Good to be back in the arena, and a lot of fond memories over here, and I know what you're all about to go through. I'm a little hoarse today. Just so you all know, I did get tested for COVID-19, and I was positively negative. So I'm here with you today, really excited about today. I want to thank you all. Legislator Holmquist wants to go out with a bang this budget cycle, so we're going to give him that. Chairman Knapp, leaders May and Irvin, members of the legislature and guests, thank you for being here today. 2021 has been a year that continues to test us in our response and recovery to COVID-19. Our community, however, has continued to show its resilience, and we started to recapture that momentum and progress we were seeing before the 100-year pandemic began. Earlier this year, we outlined our vision and priorities. We talked about continuing our fight against COVID-19. We spoke about our commitment to keep our kids in school learning in person. We talked about the opportunity we have to lead our region's economic recovery. We spoke about investing in our people, breaking down barriers to employment, modernizing our infrastructure, and making strategic investments that will drive future revenue growth tomorrow. With your partnership in 2020 and 2021, we made difficult but necessary decisions. These decisions, in addition to the American Rescue Funds, will allow us to fund our vision and put our county on a path towards inclusive growth. I am able to proudly stand before you today and present a balanced budget for 2022. Not only is our 2022 budget balanced, it makes historic investments. It cuts property taxes and invests in our base operations, shoring up our departments. Let's get to the numbers. The total budget this year, all funds, $1.4 billion. When looking at how this current 2021 fiscal year will end, we are projecting a 9% growth in sales tax and a budget surplus for 2021 of $60 million. The budget presented to you today is going to factor in a 2% growth in sales tax for 2022. Despite all these unprecedented times, I'm happy to share with you the following. S&P and Moody's have affirmed our credit rating. I'm pleased to report that the New York State Comptroller DiNapoli has determined that Onondaga County is no longer on the fiscal stress list based off of his independent fiscal stress monitoring program. We also continue to maintain a healthy fund balance. When I started in county government, our fund balance was $90 million. Currently, it is $102.1 million and well within the compliance of the 10% goal set forth by this legislature. And for the fourth straight year, we will not use any of our general fund reserves to balance the budget. This incredibly strong financial position allows us to once again cut property taxes. This budget proposes a new tax rate of $4.93 per thousand, a decline of 6 cents per thousand. For context, when I started in county government, the tax rate was $5.82 per thousand. If the proposed tax cut is approved by this legislature, it will represent an over 15% decline in property taxes since 2011. This budget also proposes keeping the sewer unit charge flat at $452, and our team at WEP is continuing to work diligently towards our ultimate goal of sewer consolidation. This budget will invest over $100 million in wastewater operations and wastewater infrastructure. I'm excited to share with you that contained within this budget are several new and exciting investments that will not just aid in our recovery, but I truly believe it will transform our county and our region. Also reflected in this budget is our continued investments to assisting the most vulnerable in our community. A core piece of our PI platform has been addressing poverty. Now, some of these things are new programs we launched, while others are expanded versions of programs we have been successfully implementing for years. Earlier this fall, I was joined by legislators Tassone and Cody and representatives of the local hotel and restaurant industry, as well as experts in the sports industry, to announce a brand new multi-sports athletic complex to support the growing sports tourism market. This $25 million will consist of approximately 10 full-sized multi-sport synthetic turf fields, including one championship field, and a year-round indoor bubble structure, all with lights. We commissioned an independent professional market analysis, and the results are promising. By year four, our community is projected to have over 500,000 visitors, occupying nearly 31,000 new hotel room nights and generating a $34 million economic impact. The demand for this type of facility is real and it is strong. Now, I understand the concerns from some regarding the loss of softball and baseball fields at Hopkins Road. But from day one, I have been clear that we are equally committed to ensuring that these individuals and these entities have even better facilities at a new location. I am proposing $4 million over 2 years to properly build out fields at the Carrier Park in DeWitt. We are currently working with the town of DeWitt in this effort, but if necessary, we will identify another location to get this done for our softball and baseball communities. Also proposed in this budget is $15 million for the implementation of broadband infrastructure and services to meet the needs of the unserved and underserved in Onondaga County. Working with the Central New York Regional Planning Board, we have identified 218 service gap miles. If approved by this legislature, our team will issue an RFP to solicit proposals from qualified companies to design, engineer, and construct the network. Our community will no longer talk about the digital divide as a problem. We have the opportunity to solve it. The success of our Main Street program has been undeniable. Our villages, hamlets, and various Main Streets throughout our county are like small cities. Investing in these business districts allows these communities to make transformational changes to their local storefronts and streetscapes. And it's important to note that a requirement of this program is for a match from the local business owners. For example, in our first round of this program, the county awarded $1.5 million in funding. This leveraged another $600,000 from the private sector to total a $2.1 million investment in our Main Streets. Earlier this year, we authorized another $5 million towards this program. To date, we have received 29 applications from 20 different municipalities seeking $9.7 million in projects, with a commitment of nearly $11 million in matching funds from the businesses. The word is out, and the business owners and our local municipal partners understand the value of this program. And we have created an environment together where people want to invest and grow. With such strong demand, this budget seeks another $5 million for our Main Street program. And we are making two important and specific commitments. If approved by the legislature, we will dedicate $1.25 million to the Mattydale Business District in the town of Salina, and another $1.25 million to the West Onondaga Street, South Ave Business District corridor in the city of Syracuse. My hope is that I can count on legislators Deb Cody and Vernon Williams on these initiatives. Just saying, guys. I am especially proud to share that this budget makes a specific commitment to our veterans, modeled after the Shape Up program administered by our county's Community Development Department. We have proposed spending $1 million to assist qualifying veterans with home repairs. This is just a small way to show our appreciation for their service and commitment to our community and our country. One of our last new initiatives, but certainly not the least one, that we have talked about and that you may have heard about, is a project that I think can only be described as iconic and transformational. In this budget, we are seeking $35 million to construct an aquarium at the Inner Harbor in the city of Syracuse. I will come back to this body for an additional $50 million of the 2021 surplus funds in 2022. We've done our homework to make sure that this project was viable. We solicited a professional, independent market analysis, and the results were nothing short of astounding. By year three, this 80,000 square foot facility, which would take care of 600,000 gallons of water, is estimated to draw 450,000 visitors to our community and generate $52 million in economic impact. Not to mention the revitalization and investment it will spur at our Inner Harbor neighborhood. This investment will complement the Onondaga Lake cleanup. This investment will complement the Loop the Lake and Empire State Trails. And this will complement the amphitheater. Our lakefront region is quickly becoming the epicenter of recreational and leisure activity for all of Central New York. You know who likes aquariums, everybody? Kids. You know who likes aquariums? Moms and dads. You know who likes aquariums? Grandparents. An aquarium has been talked about in this community for at least a generation. Today, we have the opportunity to make it happen. As I mentioned previously, our administration has been focused on addressing poverty in our community. Our teams in DSS and Children and Family Services have been doing amazing work to execute on many of our programs in unprecedented times. And I want to thank them for the work they do every day, helping the most vulnerable in our community. We are going to make continued investments in this space. Back in March, we announced a much-needed $5.5 million expansion of our children's mental health work in schools. Few can argue that isolation and the social-emotional trauma has been particularly acute among the school children during this pandemic. As schools have opened more fully, we are addressing the needs of our children through partnership and investment in every school district in Onondaga County. Mental health challenges know no zip code. They know no race or socioeconomic background. This level of investment by a county and its local school districts is unprecedented, as we now have more than 200 professionals dedicated to the social and emotional health of our children working right in school buildings alongside teachers and other school personnel. We funded this investment through the American Rescue Plan, but the need will not go away once this initial funding is exhausted. I am committed to using local funds in future budgets to keep this critical program available to our school children. Again, this year we are making a significant investment in the youngest members of our community. The Early Childhood Alliance continues to be laser focused on ensuring that every child is kindergarten ready. Study after study demonstrates that kindergarten readiness and reading on grade level at the third grade is the measuring stick for success later in life. Every segment of our community is better served by ensuring that our children are prepared and ready to succeed in school. While we continue to invest in the Talking is Teaching campaign, the Imagination Library, and universal assessments through Help Me Grow, we are also making significant investments in quality child care in the 2022 budget. Child care as a sector is struggling as a result of the pandemic. For many workers, the availability of high-quality child care can be the difference when deciding to accept a position or not. It is in the best interest as a community to ensure the availability of high-quality child care, not only for the betterment of the child, but also as a driver for the economy. The 2022 budget maintains our continued investment in early childhood. As part of our PI strategy, we have discussed the necessity of breaking down the cycle of poverty among successive generations. Through the work of DSS, Economic Security, and our community partners, we began piloting a comprehensive program in 2020. It was put on hold due to the pandemic, but we are ready to reinvigorate it for 2022. The two-gen approach will invest $750,000 to build family well-being by intentionally and simultaneously working with children and the adults in their lives. The expected results are healthy parents with family-supporting jobs, healthy children meeting developmental milestones, and better connected individuals to participate in civic and family life. Our unique approach addresses the needs of mothers, their children, and the non-custodial fathers through five domains. One, education success and early childhood development. Two, post-secondary and employment pathways. Three, building economic assets. Four, building social capital. And five, health and well-being. Breaking this cycle of poverty is crucial to the well-being of our families, and we must be intentional about it. Restoring dignity and the sense of self-worth goes hand in hand with the economic independence and child well-being. But it should come as no surprise to hear that these things require resources. They require people and they require money. And at a time when people are turning to county government more than ever, we must make the right decisions and investments to ensure we can continue to pay for these important programs. We are also a data-driven government. We do not make decisions based on politics or press releases. We rely on facts. Over the course of the last year, we have seen an increase in demand for some of our services. And looking forward, we anticipate demand to grow in other areas. These facts have made a compelling case that we need more people. So in this budget, I've authorized the addition of positions in departments where the data merits it. It is also worth noting that Onondaga County has not escaped the struggle of many employers when it comes to finding employees. As of literally this morning, we currently have 120 positions that we need filled. They range from positions in human services to public safety and public works. So while we acknowledge the data merits the addition of personnel in some areas, it still requires qualified people to apply and be willing to work. So while I have the mic, let's be clear. We are hiring, and anyone looking for a job can visit ongov.net/employment and apply today. You have all heard me say over the years, whether this room or in another room, that we run county government on sales tax, 52% of our revenue. And we rely on strong sales tax revenue to properly fund the aforementioned programs that we have talked about. What does that really mean? It means that as elected leaders, we must make investments in industries that will actually generate that sales tax. Mental health clinics in our schools are the right thing to do, and we have invested heavily in this vital service. Mental health clinics do not generate sales tax, and we need to ensure they are properly funded. How do we pay for it? We pay for it by investing in sports and sports tourism industry projects, which do generate sales tax. Lifting people out of poverty is the moral responsibility of county government. But that, too, does not generate sales tax to ensure that the proper resources are available to our not-for-profit partners. How do we pay for it? We pay for it by investing in transformational projects like the aquarium that will drive economic development and sales tax. We need employees to make sure the roads get plowed in the winter, our seniors have access to community services, or that we can properly respond to the 100-year pandemic. So how do we pay for it? By investing in things like our growing film industry and Visit Syracuse, which generates that important sales tax. The issue of kindergarten readiness requires continuous investments in our youngest residents, but it requires resources. How do we pay for it? We pay for it by investing in Main Street and business corridors that produces sales tax and paychecks. We cannot look at these things individually. They are absolutely linked. None of what we do is a standalone here. We can't do the things we need to do unless we can generate the revenue to pay for them. And I'd like just to take a moment to remind folks here and watching at home what can happen when our community can shed the negativity and cynicism and actually dream big. We can make things happen like the amphitheater a reality. And the numbers speak for themselves. From 2016 to 19, nearly 650,000 people attended this facility, with over 400,000 people from outside of Onondaga County. The economic impact over that period of time was $60 million. This was not an easy vote for people in this room. I was part of it. There was certainly a healthy amount of debate and discussion, and that's good. But just look what we would have missed out on. Who would have ever imagined that the Foo Fighters would be attempting to move heaven and earth so they could play on the shores of Onondaga Lake? From day one, our facility has received rave reviews from the artists, but just as important, the community loves it too. We have an obligation as leaders in this community to protect the interests of the taxpayers today, but also make the long-term investments that will ensure future generations will want to call Onondaga County home. I respectfully submit this budget does just that. So if we as a community can accomplish building a world-class amphitheater on the shore of Onondaga Lake, then who is to say we can't make this or this a reality, except the naysayers and the cynics who have dominated this conversation for too long. I know our community is better than that, and more importantly, they deserve better than that. We in our community are sometimes too tough on ourselves. We live in a great community. We have great schools. We have great neighborhoods, great natural resources, and most importantly, we have great people. We have a growing downtown, and we have seen multi-million dollar investments by the private sector creating economic opportunity for our residents. We have seen population growth for the first time in decades. We have a unique opportunity and a unique moment to continue to position our community for growth. This budget is an important step in our county's comeback. This budget is balanced. It makes historic investments that will drive jobs and economic opportunity for our residents in every neighborhood in our county. Let's seize the moment and let's work together to deliver historic results for our people. I look forward to working with all of you over the next few weeks. Thank you for being here. Thank you for the work you're about to do, and God bless all of you. Thank you. Thank you. Chairman?
Obviously, thank you to the county executive for the presentation. Obviously, the next 3 weeks are going to be very busy. We look forward to everyone's hard work and attendance, and obviously the cooperation of the various departments, et cetera, in answering our questions. And we will get this taken care of. So with that, we're adjourning this portion of the meeting, and then we'll reconvene at 1 p.m. for our regularly scheduled session. Thank you.